I'm so glad you came over, she said, hooking a shank of blonde hair behind her ear. I've been meaning to come and see you, actually, but then I see you up there in your window, and you always look so engrossed. I hate the thought that I might accidentally disturb you in the middle of writing a poem and ruin the whole thing.
Oh, no, you must never worry about that. I'm eminently disturbable, I can assure you. Any excuse to get away from my computer? The two of us spend far too much time together as it is.
He grinned and put his hands in his pockets. Can I get you a coffee? A tea?
Tea would be great, thank you. It begins, they say, with a woman screaming. You can't tell at first if it's pleasure or pain, or that tricky place where the two meet. You're almost embarrassed to hear it. But if you listen closer, it comes to sound more like anguish, a lament torn from the heart, like an animal cry of loss, or defiance, or fury. If you stand on the beach with your back to the sea, they'll tell you, looking up at the McBride house, you might catch behind tall windows on the first floor the fleetest shift of a shadow, all the rooms dark through glass, not even the flicker of a candle. Only the shape that shivers at the same window and vanishes, quick as breath.
In the 1980s, I found myself as the voice of language on BBC Radio 4. It was a time when the range of presenters you would hear on the air in Britain had greatly increased, following the emergence of local radio stations all over the country. And with new voices came new usages and new accents. Many listeners used to the traditional voice of the BBC, with its echoes of wartime authority and pride, were taken aback and sent letters and postcards in large numbers, expressing concern at what they perceived to be a falling of standards.